Hello, can you hear me now? Okay, now let's start. My name is Lili Li. I came from Georgia Southern University. Today, my presentation topic is emerging technologies for academic library information services. This presentation has the following 8 sections: introduction, emerging technologies, concepts and features, academic library information architectures, emerging technologies in academic libraries, impacts on academic libraries and librarians, how to manage and utilize emerging technologies, future web-based library information architecture, and summary. Introduction. This presentation overviews most relevant emerging technologies which could have great potentials on academic library information resources, services, and instructions. Limitations. This presentation does not recall evolving history of emerging technologies. This presentation does not intend to list all kinds of emerging technologies in the digital age. Currently, a lot of buzzwords available. A lot of scholars and librarians, faculties like to use those two hard words, emerging technologies and cutting-edge technologies. But how do we distinguish them? Which one is which one? So let's focus cutting-edge technologies first. In my view, there are 3 features involved with cutting-edge technologies. Cutting-edge technologies basically are those new innovative technologies which have the leading positions in their fields. Cutting-edge technologies are most advanced and state-of-the-art technologies in the market. Cutting-edge technologies have great economic effects and epoch-making social changes to boost social productivity. How about emerging technologies? We still have 3 features involved with emerging technologies here. First, emerging technologies are those new innovative technologies with great marketing potentials to enhance, integrate, and reorganize existing products and industries. Emerging technologies have potentials to generate new advanced products and new industries. Emerging technologies represent latest developing trends for theories and practices. Please look at this table so we can distinguish between cutting-edge technologies and emerging technologies. From the market, cutting-edge technologies have a stable long-term market value. Emerging technologies, on the other hand, are representing new markets, basically. From the technology issue, cutting-edge technologies are very mature or upgrade enhancements. Emerging technologies are those new innovative technologies. From the implication, cutting-edge technologies are confirmed and effective in technologies, or they have confirmed implications here. For emerging technologies, they only have potential implications. It means they could be successful, they could be out of the date, depends. For applications, cutting-edge technologies applications are very mature or productive. For emerging technology applications, they are just, in most cases, they are prototype applications. They are still on trial, okay? Now let's look at real-world examples. You know, PC was introduced in 1980s, okay? The basic input methodology was keyboard and mouse input. So at that time, keyboard and mouse input technology could be emerging technologies, okay? But right now, we have 3 major different ways for instructions input. Keyboard, mouse input, and wireless keyboard, and wireless mouse input, and voice input. So at this moment, we can say VARs input technology should be emerging technologies, okay? Because they are still, they still need a lot of enhancements. They are not matured, okay? Sometimes some people may have problems whenever they try to use VARs, you know, input methodology technologies. The second example is for Java technologies. I was software engineer. I was working in different, you know, companies before I came back to academic world. In 1995, Java was first introduced by some Micron company. At that moment, a few business companies dared to use Java to design and develop their applications because nobody was sure how Java was going to go. So in most cases, they were still focusing on traditional client-server applications in use of Visual Basic, Visual C++, and Power Builder. So 3 years later, since 1998, you know, more and more business companies convert to Java technologies because they see this, at the moment they saw Java could brought more implications, you know, for them. So today, Java has three different platforms running available, like Java SE, Java EE, and Java ME. Okay, so at this moment, we can say Java technology was emerging technologies in 1995 and 1996, but today, Java technologies is only cutting edge technologies. Okay, it means technologies is developing and evolving. It won't stay at the same time or the same state, all right? So next question is, where should we see those emerging technologies? So basically, we can see them evolving from different fields, such as artificial intelligence, bioscience, computer technologies, digital technologies, e-business, and so on. Since we are academic faculty or librarians, so basically we are focusing which emerging technologies could be used in academic learning environment, especially at different academic library settings. Okay, so where can we find those emerging technologies? I think, you know, we should focus network technologies and the web-based platform, because current academic library information resources, services, and instruction are building on those two platforms. Okay, so first thing first, we look at network-based information architecture. So we are looking at a LAN-based information architecture. You can see a server is used to, you know, connect with all those desktops. And then we have a router connected with the modem, and then we connect the internet. And at the same time, we are using a LAN switch to connect one wide area network. But definitely, we have a wireless here. All right, that's another platform. The second one, we can focus web-based academic library information architecture. This is a traditionally three-tier web-based client-server architecture. From the first tier, you can see that's the web clients. Different library users are using different desktops, laptops to access the information. The second tier is the middleware, that's the web server. They are using different business rules to grab data from the backend. The backend is the third tier. We have different HTML or XML-based documents, e-databases, digital libraries, library catalogs, and knowledge bases, and other, you know, related academic library resources. So basically, the backend is a repository area. And library users are using HTTP protocol to grab those data. So now that's the way how we retrieve emerging technologies in academic library settings. So definitely we're going to focus the next generation internet first, currently we are using the internet version 4. So in the future, we are going to use the next generation internet called internet version 6. So what's the difference over there? Please look at this table. Basically, we can see internet version 6, we called IPv6, has more available IP addresses. And secondly, IPv6 will provide us with better wireless support. And then IPv6 will have more secured, more advanced security features over there. That's the basic 6. And U.S. government specified all those federal agencies must deploy IPv6 by, originally they said by next year. Okay, so we'll see. Next, we're going to focus personal computers, since this is the basic tools for academic libraries users to access the information. So right now for the market, you can see a lot of new computers installed dual core, we call it dual CPU desktops or laptops available. So right now, you can figure out the new developing trend. Multi-core technology has been leading the new way to produce and design personal computers over there. So this is the current emerging technology from the market. So in the near future, we can see 4 CPUs built in within personal PCs. So that's why if you have to upgrade your library workstations, you'd better focus on dual core PCs instead of just a single core PCs over there, even though they give you lower price, but it's not worth it. All right. Or if you like to wait for a while, those price will drop very quickly. All right. And oops, let's see. And the next we're going to focus on operating system. Microsoft just released its new operating system called Vista. All right. So if you want to buy PCs from Best Buy or Security City, you can see they provide different versions over there. Based on my experience, I suggest we'd better wait for a while to see how Microsoft will fix those bugs. Okay? It doesn't matter how well you design your system, you always see bugs over there. So I don't suggest you should jump on Vista at this moment. I suggest you'd better wait for a while until Microsoft release Vista SP1 version, and then you can see if you need to upgrade your computer system in your library. And another thing is a lot of reports have mentioned the Google operating system and Google PC. About 1 year ago, Google signed a contract with Walmart to sell $100 personal computers for third world countries. Okay, basically they are not using any operating system over there. That $100 PC doesn't have any hard drive. Basically, Google is trying to use the network operating system to store your data. So if you visit Google's new website, you can see Google release more and more desktop applications. Okay, it means if you like to spend say $50 per year with them, they can handle all your kinds of data over there. Now the question is, are you going to reveal your privacy to Google? So that's another issue. But anyway, technology is there. So I think that's the way how Google is going to defeat Microsoft at this moment. Okay? So we're going to watch the developing trend between Google and Microsoft. Next one, we're going to focus flash drive. you know, I'm using my flash drive to present my applications. Currently, I was using 1 gig flash drive. The largest capacity flash drive is has a 64 gigabyte. They call it King Kong, you know, flash drive. It costs you over $2,000 at this moment. I don't think you can afford it, but I suggest you better wait for a while, the price will drop. Right now, I think you can get 4 gig, you know, universal flash drive, probably cost you, say, $50 or $70, depending on where you can get it. And then universal hard drive, you know, from 40 gig to 500 gig, because you have to use a database to storage all kinds of data, especially those images and those stream video materials, okay? I still remember how much I spent when I tried to upgrade my PCs from 120 megabyte to 2 gigabyte. I spent over $250 like 8 years ago. Now look at this, you know, for that kind of money, you can definitely buy about 300 gig. Yeah, so, and then, computer software definitely we're going to focus office software at this moment. We are still waiting for Microsoft to release its newer version for Microsoft Office at this moment. But from the market, you can see different products available. The first one I would like to mention is EI Office. This is a product created by Chinese companies. Actually, if you know Microsoft Office, you know they have a Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Access, Microsoft Publisher, whatever. Whenever you try to manipulate the data, you have to say transfer data from Microsoft Word to Microsoft Excel, or you have to transfer data from Microsoft Excel to Microsoft Access. But for EI Office, all those separate applications are grouped in one user interface. It means whenever you try to transfer those data, you don't need to switch user interface. Everything will be done under one user interface. Okay, that's its strength. And at this moment, EI Office does not support Mac operating system. They're still working on it. All right. And let's go back. Let's see. And next one, we're going to talk about StarOffice. StarOffice is a product from Sun Microsystems. If you have an interest, you can go there to see how this Office software is downloaded over there. At the same time, Sun Micron supports this OpenOffice. This is an open source software. Anybody can download for free. Okay, so it means if you try to save your budget, you don't need to purchase more leads from Microsoft. You can just download this open source software, Office software, to do anything you want. Okay. And definitely, we have more open source software available. So I think a lot of people are familiar with Apache, Mozilla, MySQL, PostgreSQL, and Tomcat. All right. So definitely, there are more open source software applications being used in today's academic library environment. Then we're going to see a database, okay? I think MySQL is one of the most famous open source software used in today's academic library environment. Basically, actually depends on your different information technology architecture. A lot of research libraries are using Oracle or SQL Server to back up the data. For those medium-sized academic libraries, they can use open source software like MySQL and PostgreSQL to back up their data. And then we're going to see web publishing software like Dreamweaver and FrontPage 2007. The most advanced level from Dreamweaver is Dreamweaver 8. It was a product from Macromedia. Since Macromedia was purchased by Adobe, so that's why you have to check those information from Adobe's website. FrontPage 2007 has not been released yet. We just still have to wait to see what's going on from Microsoft website. But a lot of people are guessing, you know, Microsoft, for some unknown reason, has fallen behind their schedule to release this new product. And then we're going to see wireless broadband network. Right now, if you visit this Global Learning Conference Center, you can see a lot of towers installed over there. So currently, we're using our current wireless technology like this. You can see it. Okay, how many towers have been installed in this conference room? At least two. But in the future, if you use another emerging technology called WiMAX, okay, for the whole city area, probably you just need to set up several WiMAX tower, like a TV tower, to cover 30 to 50 miles range. All right, so you don't need to set up a different, you know, towers. In other words, one campus will be covered if you set up a one WiMAX tower. So every buildings will be connected by a wireless platform. And another one is Bluetooth. Bluetooth is another kind of wireless technology to handle near-range applications and devices like a wireless keyboard, wireless remote control to handle your printing, something like that. Another one we're going to monitor is web technologies. HTML, XML, XHTML are three top, you know, languages we should focus. A lot of people are familiar with XML and HTML, but I would like to mention HTML first. HTML are representing standard generalized markup language. HTML has never been used to design any applications. Actually, HTML is the grandfather of HTML and XML. HTML defined HTML and XML. Okay. For XML, I think a lot of experts and librarians are familiar with the potentials this new markup language. We have to use XML to define our data. That's the major difference between XML and HTML. Let's see these two examples. The first one is HTML. Actually, you use HTML tags to design different layout from one web page. On the contrary, XML is used to define data. XML has nothing to do with your page layout. Okay, so that's the basic difference between XML and HTML. For example, XML is widely used for people to define their digital library data, okay, which kind of images they have to use over there. And next one, we're going to mention web services. This is a new kind of methodologies used to develop web-based academic library applications. But it doesn't mean every library has to use web service technologies, depending on your own information technology architecture. If your university and if your university libraries are using Java technologies, now probably you can think, if you have a funding support, okay, you can think if it's worth, you know, switching to web technologies. Otherwise, for other medium-sized universities and university libraries, they still have to use open source software like scripts to get this data, okay? So if you use web technologies like web services, you have to use the following five technologies here. HTTP, I think a lot of people are familiar with it. Hypertext Transport Protocol, XML means Extensible Markup Language, SOAP means a Simple Object Access Protocol, WSDL for Web Service Description Language, and UDDI for Universal Discovery Description Integration. Let's go back to other categories. So people will have more time to ask me if you have any questions. Next category is about digital libraries. So a lot of people know, the Google Print Library project represents the ultimate level for academic library, digital library projects in the world. We are still waiting for the legal result between Google and other publishers, distributors, and to see what's going on over there, because this issue could impact our library's future. You know, it's a lot of issues have been revolved with this case, especially about a copyright issue. Okay, and then if Google could win, I hope Google could win, and then it will save tons of money for academic library operations to access more and more data without paying too much money. Next one, we're going to talk about the Center for Research Libraries. I think you know maybe you heard about this, and this is there are over 200 American universities joined to this consortium to share and distribute their information resources. There was another one called Open Content Alliance, like a Google Digital Library. This is another consortium for academic libraries to share and distribute their web-based information resources. Next, we're going to see digital communications. From the market, you can see a lot of HDTV. Based on my experience, we can see how powerful this HDTV could be used if we wire HDTV with desktop applications and other multimedia applications or equipment to create a real multimedia presentation area for students and faculty. So whenever they try to design their applications, we can use this technology to boost or to improve our teaching and learning activities on campus. The next one we're going to mention is artificial intelligence. So we're going to talk about the Blackboard technology. And you know WebCT has been purchased by Blackboard. So if you are still using WebCT Vesta, you know, you can see what I'm talking about. So this is another human intelligence application widely used at different academic library environments. Number nine is about instructional technology, but actually instructional technology is based on computer technology and the network technologies over there. So depends on which applications you use, you have to find a way to dynamically enhance and integrate your current academic learning applications and programs over there. For the last category I would like to mention include IPTV, Integrated Protocol, Television and Voice over Internet Protocol. We call it VOIP. A lot of academic libraries are initializing, instant messenger service, so library users can talk to librarians in a real time situation, but behind the scene they are using voice over internet protocol to transmit and exchange vocal data over there. IPTV could be used to create a distance learning program in the future, depending on how fast your network speed is. It means the users can download or view those web-based academic library tutorials via different channels or platforms in the future. Next, we're going to focus how those emerging technologies impact academic libraries and the librarians. You're going to see academic library management will be impacted first. They have to decide how to modify their current policies for maintain library collections, or they have to decide how and which emerging technology could be used to improve academic library information technologies. At the same time, they have to change their procedures, how to review and evaluate current academic library services and programs. And then they have to use some new standard and criteria to judge a librarian's performance, based on my understanding. There are a lot of issues here. For academic librarians, definitely you can see more impacts over there. So first thing first, how should we say academic librarians will play in today's academic library learning environment? Okay, definitely you know they have to switch their roles from certain fields. Secondly, we're going to see library information resources, services, and instruction will be impacted because the collection will be changed or will be enhanced. The collection assessment of evaluation procedure could be different, and then we're going to see more dynamic instructions and tutorials channels will be available. And then definitely you're going to have new standard to judge a librarian's ability, skills, and knowledge of there. And definitely it will impact a librarian's promotion and annual evaluation and so on. It's very important. Next one, we're going to see how we should manage and utilize emerging technologies in today's academic library settings. So first thing first, I suggest academic libraries should set up initial plans, including long-term and short-term plans, how you would like to initialize and implement emerging technologies. You should have a view about your current academic library services and direction in the future. And then you have to modify your procedures, policies, regulations, how to access and evaluate your library's collections, your current information technology services, how do you satisfy user needs over there, and how do you plan to upgrade your systems and resources in the future or in the next 3 to 5 years. And then, do you have sufficient funding support available? If not, what are you going to do? So there are a lot of issues involved with academic library management here. And then you have to prepare whenever you decide to implement emerging technology applications. I know a lot of libraries are trying to reshape their information user services. Say, for example, they are going to initialize or implement information commons or learning commons over there. So for that project, what are you going to do? Okay, which new applications are you going to purchase? Which computer workstations or laptops are you going to use in your information commons or learning commons over there? And then how should you sign contract with the vendors? There are a lot of issues. And then you have to make a decision very quickly regarding cost, performance, documentation, time, and lifespan. Lifespan is the time range for this technology. How long this technology will be used? For example, if you purchase a laptop, okay, say at $1,000 at today's market value, how long do you expect this laptop could be used? You know, laptop its value drops very, very quickly because they are going to upgrade, you know, new operating systems and the larger hard drive and the multi-core CPUs over there. Whenever newer version laptops available, the old typed laptops drop their prices very quickly. So, for example, last weekend you can just spend $350 to get regular laptop from Office Depot. All right, 40 gig hard drive and probably 512 megabyte for the one memory. The price is very good for $350 for a laptop. If you only use it to access the internet, it will be okay. But if you like to use to play multimedia application, you could think this laptop is a little bit slow. So it's you know, up to you. Sometimes a lot of academic library executives like to use top-level laptops. All right. For example, when we discuss our library operating budget last year, I was surprised to see the our university library decided to spend $4,000 to purchase two laptops. I should be keep my mouth shut if I knew who was going to use those two laptops. I was asking if that possible for you to buy four laptops instead of two laptops. And then finally, our dean said, okay, I would like to wait for one more year to upgrade my laptop. You know, because it doesn't make sense for, I don't mind if you use top level, you know, laptops if you have sufficient funding support. If you have a tight budget support over there, why just spend $4,000 for two laptops over there? You know, in about 3 or 5 years, your $2,000 laptop is only for $500. It drops value very quickly. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to play games over there? I don't think so. In most cases, you just use your laptop to access the internet to do, to compute, you know, some values by using Excel or Microsoft Word, right? But it's very fancy for you to carry large screens in 19-inch laptop over there whenever you attend any professional references over there. But the problem is, you know, you have to know how to spend your money very wisely. Okay, and then let's see, future web-based academic library information architecture. Based on today's developing technology developing trend, we can foresee what our future academic library information technology will be. So from the client side, you can see more dynamic computer access could be used to access a different information. From backhand, you know, we don't have too many changes over there. Definitely we're going to use different technologies to storage data. We're going to use new networking technologies to grab data, but actually the basic change is still from the front end. It means academic library users can dynamically access all kinds of academic information, ranging from laptop PDA, cell phone, all right? So, or from HDTV. So you see, we can use cell phone, we can use HDTV to access this information. From those classroom, they are using the whiteboard to access those information when faculty is teaching a class in the classroom. So step by step, this technology, this information technology architecture is going to shape step by step. Summary. New emerging technologies will continue to provide academic libraries with new ways to access, distribute, locate, store, and transfer academic information resources, services, and instructions. Second, we can see if they cannot transfer their knowledge, skills, and roles from subject bibliographers to information technology specialists, academic librarians cannot work effectively under new academic library information distributed systems. If they cannot keep close watch on cutting-edge technologies and emerging technologies, academic library administrators and executives will lose their strategic vision and strong leadership to shape and build new academic libraries in the digital age. Thank you so much for your time and attention. If you have any questions, you may ask at this moment. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I know how to do HTML, but I don't know how to do XML. Can you give me some reasons why I should learn how to do XML as an electronic resource?
Sure. If you want to learn how to do XML, you know you don't need to spend any money. So your library should have a lot of books available. If you visit W3C website, they have a free tutorials available for you to learn how to build XML step by step. But anyway, as I mentioned, XML is not used to create your web page layout. XML, in most cases, embedded within XML-based web pages to describe those data. Whenever you visited different academic library, digital library projects over there, if you check their source, you can see how they use XML to define their data over there. So that's, if you understand the difference between HTML and XML, you can see what I'm talking about. And one more thing is, at this moment, XML is going to replace HTML step by step. So that's why we have another script called XHTML to be used. So W3C, at the same time, we offer you free tutorials over there to learn, for you to learn how to use XHTML to design your website. It means you only change some tags format over there. It's not hard at all if you have HTML base. You know, so I think in 1 week you may become XHTML expert. All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Do you foresee libraries offloading everything to an outside service provider?
In my opinion, I don't want to say that way. It depends on your information technology architecture and your specific user needs. We cannot say we offer everything. Whenever you say we try to offer everything, how much your operating budget is, how many staff will be available, how would you like to make sure user access will be stable. Are you going to trust your users all the time? Definitely not, right? So whenever you try to access your website, you have those access level control over there. You have to give them password to make sure they are from the pool you support, right? You don't want to give them everything for free. So if I misunderstood your question, we can discuss this later. But in my opinion, in the future, university library is trying to function as information gateway. We are trying to planning as a platform to enhance the teaching and the learning activities. That's the basic roles for academic library websites. We are not business or e-commerce websites. We're not going to sell everything over there. So if you look at my examples very carefully, you can notice I didn't mention anything about Web 2.0, all right? So you know Web 2.0 was very hot last year. It's, to me, it's a buzzword. It doesn't mean anything. Some people like to say we're going to use the Web 2.0 technology to design or enhance our website. I said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Web 2.0 technology. I was, a software engineer. I designed website before Web 2.0 showed up. Where was Web 1.0? And the other day, I happened to see an article talking about a librarian 2.0. I said, I've been working as a librarian for over 10 years, so how can I define myself? Am I librarian 1.0 or am I a librarian 2.0? I don't know. And then another question, are you 2.0 today? So whenever you see those new buzzwords, you have to think, okay, which kind of technology they are talking about? How do you define what is Web 2.0? Is this a technology or platform? But basically, from the first day when the web was invented, internet was used as a platform for people to share and distribute information. It doesn't matter if you have a Web 0.0 or 3.0, the web is a platform. And then, what is the Web 2.0 technology? This kind of JavaX. That's, wait a minute. JavaScript and XML have been widely utilized already before anybody mentioned Web 2.0. And then you say, hey, this is the Web 2.0 technology. You have to design your website by Web 2.0 technology. You say, wait a minute. So whenever you hear some new technology, you have to make sure you understand what they are talking about. So when we try to say, we try to deliver all the information, we deliver everything to them. I say, you have to define your services at your operating budget available. And then, otherwise, you know, you could have some troubles. This is based on my initial environment, you know, reaction. Yes. Any other questions? All right, okay, thank you so much. Have a good trip.
Okay, well, I guess we'll go ahead and start, and I'm very happy this select few chose to come to our session. I'm Becky Schulte. I'm the University Archivist at the University